America as we value it will steadily disappear, as will our rights, our Constitution, and our freedoms. Help win the war against the FTAA. Go to StopTheFTAA.org and help keep America free. That's StopTheFTAA.org.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn. Roll away the dawn and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed now? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our land. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. Here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. It is Monday. It is the 13th of June in the year 2005. Half of June is over already. We went from having, I guess, about 2.5 weeks at least, maybe 3 weeks, of 50 and 60 degree weather when we should have been having 70. In the last, I don't know how long, week and a half, I don't know how long this has been going on. It's in the 90s, folks, and it is just absolutely outrageous. I think it's called weather modification, is what it's called. Anyway, I guess that's how it is. It's not nice to fool Mother Nature, is it? I don't know if you remember that old commercial. But that's what I keep thinking about. Our spiritual message tonight is from A Course in Miracles, from the text, page 187. My kingdom is not of this world, because it is in you, and you are of your Father. And our guest this evening is Alan Watt. Alan, thanks for being here once again.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, folks, Steve Jacobson was on with us last Tuesday and Wednesday, and the topic, the new world religion. Alan and I had conversation later about it, and he was actually filling in more information, and so I asked him to come on with us tonight, and I thought that it would be relevant to pick it up and let Alan take us further into this, so we get a really absolutely clear look at the dangers of the people that they are soaking into their games, their dangerous games. And we were talking specifically about Benny Hinn, but there's a whole group of them. Yes, Alan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Some superstars amongst them, though, and that's the key, the superstars who've been risen up there by the old unseen hands that decide to give us the shepherds that we're supposed to follow.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, Benny Hinn is only one of them. The CBC television did two separate exposés.
That's the Canadian Broadcasting?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They did two one-hour specials on them. And
now, what do they call these guys? I forget. There's a word for this.
Well, there's a lot of words for them.
I mean, for the kind of, I mean, ones we can say on the radio.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What kind of religion do they call this?
The charismatic.
A charismatic. Okay.
Yeah, which is basically hypnotic. Yeah.
You know, General Ben Parton. Do you remember him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was the guy that came out there after the Oklahoma City bombing. Ben Parton was a charismatic.
Uh-huh.
He was all involved in that. A bunch of them are.
Yes, I'm not surprised, because it's a fantastic mind control formula that they've got down pat.
Yeah, but I think Ben Parton was one of theirs.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Albert Pike said. You know, we always give them their leaders.
Yeah.
And that's for every side.
Uh-huh.
And they give you subdivisions, so there's a leader out there for your particular personality type.
And what I took us, you were going to go into this two-part thing that the CBC had.
Yeah, they did a special on Benny Hinn, and the reason they started this, or the investigation into Benny Hinn, was because there was a pastor in the U.S. who had polio when he was young, and I think he now has leg braces, but he had gone to Benny Hinn hoping to get up on stage and be cured, you see. That's the whole trick of this thing, is the curing. However, what he found out was there's a whole team of experts in the audience working for him, and they pick out the ones who are allowed up on the stage, and they must not have any obvious physical disabilities. So if you're in a wheelchair or on crutches or whatever, you don't get up there on the stage. That way they can pick people who have lots of other problems, but you can't see what it is.
You mean like pretend they're blind or pretend they're deaf or something like that?
Yeah, or they've got cancer or a tumor or something, and a lot of them do, but so they've been diagnosed. But physically, you can't see anything wrong with
right.
them. And of course, it's strange too, because Jesus is supposed to have made people rise up when he cured them, whereas Benny Hinn knocks them down. He knocks them down, and of course they're all trained to fall down, because they are charismatic Christians who watched this all their lives.
Uh-huh.
So when he puts out his hand, they all fall down like dominoes. But it's a hypnotic technique. They're already preconditioned to that technique by being brought up in charismatic churches. So when it happens to them, they immediately fall down as though they're in a trance. And
well, there is always somebody there to catch them.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Well, no, there is.
But the thing is, the CBC did a follow-up to those people who've been up on stage. Some people had AIDS, cancers, and so on. And out of the ones who are still alive, they were dying. You know.
In other words, are you saying those, not just the professionals who were there to assist him,
mm-hmm.
but actually people that came up that had AIDS and stuff?
Yeah.
They actually fell down too.
They fall down too, because, as I say, they're mainly charismatic Christians or being brought up in the church. And so when something happens to them, they don't go to the doctor often, or they do go to the doctor, but they still believe that the next thing to Jesus, being Benny Hinn, is going to cure them.
So do they pass out, or what happens to them?
Some pass out, some just fall down with their eyes open, and I guess they wait for their cues to get up. But it's the follow-ups that are really important, because most of them, when someone's really seriously ill, the relatives will pay to no end of money to try and get them better. And Benny Hinn, of course, and his audience, they pass around 5-gallon buckets and just stuff them with money and checks and so on, and he takes credit cards too. He earns over $220 million a year. That's what he brings in, his organization. So he's doing pretty well for himself. And the CBC, when they challenged them, when they eventually managed to get to him, the actual camera crew, when they found them coming into a hotel, they challenged them on the follow-ups that they'd done on some of the people he supposedly cured, and had even written about curing in his own magazine. And it was all lies, because they'd followed them up and found out that they were dying or dead.
Well, did he respond to them when they got
He, of course, couldn't remember the names or whatever, or tried to slough it off by asking them to come back and make an appointment with them, and he'd talk to them, which he never did. But in a sense, you know, you can see that in the audience, the type of audience that he attracts, that he's got a ready-made market, because the people actually want to see this showmanship, this tremendous Hollywood stage-managed showmanship, and they want so badly to believe that he has a special power that God's given him, you know. So they are willing fools, you might say. They're conditioned victims already waiting to be used by people like Benny Hinn.
And the danger that was pointed out by Steve Jacobson last week when he was watching, mm-hmm, is that they've got this whole on TBN, they've got this whole World Prayer Network or World Prayer Team, whatever they call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he said they are totally promoting the world agenda.
Yes.
The UN and Israel and et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they've got all these people praying the same prayer, Alan.
Sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what sheep do. They follow the shepherd, and they've all been trained since birth to be good sheep. That's what religion truly is all about, you know.
Okay, I know, and I know that you've said this before. Mm-hmm. It occurs to me we could have new listeners.
Yeah.
And the first thought in their mind would be, well, that's what Jesus said, that, you know, he was here for the lost sheep, and the Lord is my shepherd, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying, I don't believe he ever called anybody sheep because they're the dumbest animal there is.
Yeah, you can't get much dumber.
But that the staff, the crook, that the, quote, shepherd carries, you explained that there's actually, you know, the depictions of the pharaohs.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so just expand on that just a little.
Well, from the earliest times, even the statues they've uncovered in Babylon, with their king in Babylon, and in the pharaohs of Egypt, you'll often see them depicted holding in one hand, well, their arms crossed in front of them, in front of their chest. And one hand holds a small crook, which is a shepherd's crook. That's so you can pull the sheep if they're going the wrong way. So that's the gentle hand, but it's still used to get them to go in the direction you want them to go in. And of course, in the other hand, he's got the rod, and that's for the sheep that are a bit more stubborn, more individualistic. He's supposed to bash that down in their heads. That's what the rod and the staff are for.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's a beautiful song of an abused victim.
Oh, gosh.
Because that's what it would have to be, you know. And of course, that's what organized religion has always been about, is controlling the people so that a few can benefit at the top over the expense,
yeah,
of the majority. But these shysters in the charismatic movement obviously are allowed to do what they're doing by the establishment, which is a term I always use for the real government behind the government. And I'm sure they must give their kickback to their bosses above them for being allowed to scam the public this way. Because this whole system we live in is totally corrupt.
Yeah.
Now, Benny Hinn, when he was followed around by this camera crew, he took off to Europe, supposedly to go on some crusade, but they followed him from one hotel to another. Now, these hotels, some of the rooms cost about $5,000 or more per night, per person. They were the most expensive in Europe. And he would get the best rooms, and they all have fancy names, like Sir So-and-so or Lord So-and-so's room, you know. And he was giving $1,000 tips to people and waiters and so on in these restaurants. And that's where the money's going, that he's poor.
To live a lavish lifestyle.
Yeah, given by the poor and the sick and the needy. who some of them whom actually, as they showed on the CBC documentary, there was one couple in particular whose son was dying of something. I think it was a leukemia or cancer of some kind anyway, but they'd sold their home and given all the money to Benny Hinn and moved into a small apartment, a one-roomed apartment, so that Benny Hinn could take the money and cure the son. And they showed you his routine on the stage with the son. And when they went back a few months later, the son was dead. And the parents, of course, were totally broke. You know.
Does he... See, I only saw him one time. I stumbled across him one night.
Mm-hmm.
I stumbled across TVN, I guess, because there was Benny Hinn.
Yeah.
And he was fascinating to watch because he was so slick.
Yeah.
But I watched maybe 15 minutes, but does he actually tell these people that the more money you give me, the quicker you're... I mean, how does he get people to give them so much money? And how...
It's the conditioning. See, as I say, they're preconditioned for these shysters by the religion itself. And they're told constantly over and over that if you give, you will receive. And the more you give, of course, the more you're supposed to receive. That only works for bankers who give out loans. And it doesn't work in real life for real people. So they give everything that they have, believing that the Lord truly will bless them and cure their offspring or whoever. And somehow it will be all right, like some Hollywood movie, you know. And now one of the Masonic jokes, which is, you know, they're sick jokes, but it's true as well, it has to do with the fact that all of our language is a Masonic language, is constructed that way. And the word spirit, which is about the only word they've really given us to describe that yearning you have inside for something beyond you, which you know is out there somewhere, spirit is also the term used for alcohol, you see. So when you're full of the spirit, you're drunk with the spirit. And these people have been trained to be drunk with the spirit. And when they're like that, they're not thinking logically. Their hands are in the air. They're going back and forth in a hypnotic movement. And they're listening to these shysters who have professional lighting teams all over the theaters, professional music players, instrumentalists, and so on. It's a Hollywood production par excellence.
Do you have those? You have a couple of videos,
mm-hmm.
and you had some excerpts. Do you have the? Are you going to share those with our listeners tonight?
I could actually. I'll see if it will work. But
well, you know what? It would be a good idea to do.
Mm-hmm.
Play just about 4 or 5 seconds of it, and then stop it.
Yeah.
So that you can, then I can tell you if we can hear it good. Okay.
Okay.
Well, but Alan.
Uh huh.
Before, because you know he's got the. Oh, first of all, you had told me that he was a Jew. And I mentioned that when Steve Jacobson was on,
mm-hmm.
and he says, no, he's a Palestinian Catholic.
Yeah.
And that's what people say that he says he is?
Well, here's the bottom line. The CBC did the documentary partly because Benny Hinn also had Canadian citizenship. And on his Canadian citizenship, he said that he was born in Tel Aviv, Israel.
So that would make him...
Jewish.
In other words, well, he couldn't have been a Palestinian born in Tel Aviv?
No, you wouldn't get a birth certificate as a citizen unless you're Jewish.
Yeah, I read that the Palestinians today there mm-hmm. can't even get their birth certificates.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's up in the air as to actually what he is, but really it doesn't matter. The fact is, he fits up there with the Bushies and all the rest. They're all oil men. They're slick as can be.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Can Americans have, like Canadians, have dual citizenship in America?
I don't know about America, but I know for the last few years, because we are going into the global society, actually for the last maybe even 20 years, people have been allowed dual citizenship here in Canada.
Dual?
Or anywhere.
With any in anywhere?
Yeah, I don't know about the U.S., but everywhere else.
No, well,
Europe.
I know that it's okay for Israelis. In other words, the Israelis can have citizenship in the U.S. and Israel.
Yeah.
But I don't know of any others that... But I shouldn't say that, so maybe it is okay in the U.S. too, and I just don't know it.
Well, they're always upgrading the laws, but I do know, as I say, that Canada has been giving dual citizenships to everybody that's come in for donkey's years now.
Uh-huh.
From anywhere, you know.
Okay.
And that's part of the globalization structure.
And before you turn this on, tell them what they're going to be hearing, so when they hear it, they'll hear it. Because
yes.
He's got that accent.
Yes, and when he starts talking quickly, his accent becomes thicker.
Uh-huh.
But the first little blurb that he does, I think, is about...
He wants gold.
He wants gold, yeah. And he said, I don't want to hear about gold in heaven. He says, I want it now, you know. I want it here and now, he said. So I'll see if this plays okay.
Okay.
First, I said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it. Because I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'd blow your head off. I'm sick and tired of hearing how it used to be back 4 years ago. I got so sick of it. I said, Lord, if I hear it one more time, I'm going to throw up. I want to see it now. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about streets of gold. I don't need gold in heaven. I got to have it now.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And what was he talking about? A holy machine gun?
Yeah, he was talking about the people who complain about him, and he said he wish he had a Holy Ghost machine gun, so he'd mow them all down.
Oh my God!
And he also said that you parents, this is not on this part of it, but it's on the same tape. He said, and you parents, he says, if you criticize me, you better watch for your children. This is like a mafia boss talking, you know.
Wow.
And yet he's up there, you know. He's only God's chosen. Yeah. But
you're gonna play the rest of it?
I'll play the same part again.
Okay.
And then let you hear the rest. This is only a couple other blurbs. Then you hear his wife at the end, who's a real sweetheart, you know. She probably weighs three times as much as he does.
You said she looks like a dominatrix or something?
Yeah, well, all she could do is a Sherman tank.
Uh-huh. Oh, Sherman tank.
She stomped something up and down that stage there with the microphone in her hand and giving her spiel, you know. But this is the thing again where he's talking about the Holy Ghost machine gun. Yeah.
I said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it. Because I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'd blow your head off. I'm sick and tired of hearing how it used to be back 4 years ago. I got so sick of it. I said, Lord, if I hear it one more time, I'm going to throw up. I want to see it now. And I'm sick and tired of hearing about streets of gold. I don't need gold in heaven. I got to have it now. I got to have it here. He said, well, many in the wonderful depth, gold, sweet and glory. Well, of course. But if I hear the thing one more time of how it will be and how it was, I'm going to kick somebody.
Come on, heaven up. You know what you need? You need a Holy Ghost enema right up your rear end.
There you go. So that's show business for you. Yeah.
A Holy Ghost enema up your rear end.
Uh-huh. So that's
and the people go for this.
Oh, they go wild over it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's all superb stagemanship. You know, it comes on with his white suit, very expensive, and people won't go to see anybody who wore rags because they're trained that to be successful, then God has blessed you. So you don't want to go to a poor person, you want to go and see a rich person. And so he has the $5,000 or $10,000 suits.
In other words, if you're poor, then you've done something wrong?
That's it. God hasn't blessed you, you
uh-huh.
see. That's the Judaic element that's crept into Christianity.
Yeah, because Jesus said not to store up your treasure here on earth.
Mm-hmm. And so he has this gold jewelry hanging from his wrists and all this kind of thing. Which must mean he's very, very blessed, and I guess he is in that sense. Yeah.
And they're doing this all over the world.
Oh, yeah, they tour all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And, as I say, the CBC did work out what his finances were for the year, according to statements he'd made in his own magazines, and they said that it came to $220 million income that 1 year alone.
And that's for people donating?
That's from the people, again, who have been brought up to truly believe this, and they're losing someone through disease, and they give everything that they have. And these characters are basically psychopaths, you know.
I understand that Brother Stair isn't on WWCR anymore.
I don't know. I think he's still on the air somewhere.
Oh, okay. Then I can't say anything.
But,
because I was going to say something. I thought he was off.
He might be off that station, but I do know he's somewhere.
Okay. Well, you know, that one clip that Stephen played last week, mm-hmm. Benny Hinn was talking about the TBN, that miracles were going to happen,
yeah.
And that people would actually be resurrected from the dead,
mm-hmm.
And that they would wheel their, and he says, not just my program, but all the TBN programming, and people would wheel their dead loved ones in their coffins. They would leave the coffin in front of the television with TBN on for 24 hours, and then they would take the hand of their loved one, place it on this television,
yeah.
And their loved one would rise from the dead.
Yeah.
And then Paul Crouch and whoever else he was talking to, you could hear them going, amen, praise God, praise the Lord, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he says, not so much in the U.S. It wasn't going to happen. It was that he actually said that. He says, but all over the world this would be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up, when I went into that world prayer team, Bill Bright, I know he's a big one, and he's a member of the... that scared me. I'll take this call. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? I can't hear you. You're going to have to try to call back because you're not coming through. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can't hear. Okay, I'm trying. Maybe the volume's down. Try it again. No, you'll have to call back, listener. I'm sorry. No, I pushed the volume thing and it's up as high as it'll go. Sorry about that. But Bill Bright is a member of the Council for National Policy.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here, with his Campus Crusade for Christ,
mm-hmm.
It says he has more than 16,000 full-time staff and 101,000 trained volunteers in 161 countries,
yeah.
Alan.
I can believe it.
Yep.
No, there's no end to the power that they have, but it's understandable since religion is a technique, it's a science, and it's well understood, and it has been here for thousands and thousands of years. And these guys know how to use it. It's all based on formula, and the only precondition you really need is to brainwash at least one generation into the belief of it. And then it's an open field there. That's an open market for the shyster.
And the military is now promoting it.
Well, that makes sense because they're both armies in a way. They both use similar techniques where you lose your individuality and you're told to be part of the church or the army or the group. That's what you're trained to
mm-hmm.
do, to lose your actual distinct personality. And be and follow orders, of course.
So Alan,
yeah.
It comes down to this when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
They preach that in the end times,
yeah.
It's going to be a holy war.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, George Bush has called this a holy war,
mm-hmm.
this never-ending war in the Middle East,
yeah.
against Islam and Christianity.
Uh-huh.
And you think about it. If these young people going into the military are getting this type of religion crammed into them,
mm-hmm.
they'll go fight just because in their minds and hearts they'll believe that they're fighting a holy war for Christ.
It was done on the Crusades. It's the same technique.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
My. We're ready to take our half break. Ladies and gentlemen, get your pen in hand, if you would. And the call-in number, if you would like to call in, if you have any questions or comments, is 570-537-3282. 3025 and listen to the upcoming, because you'll get my address. And this is a reminder that Sweet Liberty is brought to you by you folks. We'll be right back with Alan Watts. Stay with.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Hello, Jackie. I think we're back on the air. Well, this is Alan here, and what I'll do in the meantime, if Jackie isn't there, is I'll advertise my three booklets I'm selling here, which go through Freemasonry and religion. I give you a lot of the origins of both. And the third one I've just finished, I go through a lot of the esoteric meanings of Christianity and revelations, as I don't think it's been done before, at least not publicly. And I also go into the banking system in ancient times and how through banking they took over the world. So if you want any one of these books, send an international postal order from the post office for $25 to it's Alan Watt, which is W-A-T-T, Site 41, that's S-I-T-E, 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada, and the postal code is P for Peter, 3, Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. And I'll get them out as soon as I can to you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alan.
Okay.
You know what? I had printed out a thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought I did, but before the broadcast. And then when I went over to get it, I found out that within that storm when I shut off the surge protector, I had shut off the printer, too.
Oh, yeah.
Is there more that you want to say about this?
The charismatic movement?
Yeah.
Well, it's really fairly simple. They have conditioned many, many people into the charismatic movement. Lots were brought up in it. You can actually trace it all the way back to the ancient Egypt, because you'll see many depictions of the followers of Aten, the sun god, with their arms up in the air. And of course the same thing there, they move from left to right as though they were in a breeze, and the high priest would talk over the crowds in a hypnotic manner. So the technique is ancient, and techniques are not lost, they're simply carried from one place to the next. And these characters are taught from childhood, like Benny Hinn, how to use these techniques in hypnotizing the public and fleecing the sheep, you know. And it's all perfectly legal technically. It's maybe immoral, but technically it's very legal, and so they get away with it, you know.
do you, I realize this, you know, from talking to people, how difficult it is for people to separate the Old from the New, if you would, Testament.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the God of the Old Testament. And if you use the word Jehovah, they say, well, that's not the right name.
Mm-hmm.
The right name is Yahweh. And, you know, that's the breath, Yahweh,
uh-huh.
or something like that.
Yeah.
But, and then the ones, the people who have been taken in by this Israel identity. Now, there are some who will not call it Israel or Christian identity anymore. They just call it something like another kind of Christian. I forget what they call it,
uh-huh.
a certain kind of Christianity. But it's Israel identity,
mm-hmm.
and it's part of this whole game. To and my question, because I know that, in fact, did you give out your phone number to our listeners?
No, I didn't. No.
Well, let us do that. Folks, if you want to get in touch with Alan, his phone number is 705-596.
No, it's 695.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
God,
yeah.
I'm getting more dyslexic all the time. I call that number enough. It's 695, folks. 0416.
Yeah.
My sister's is 659. That really gets me messed up.
Uh-huh.
705-695-0416. That there are some of our listeners who are awakening to this, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. There's actually quite a lot of people out there who've, through one way or another, or experiences with these organizations, have started to question, and it's a big thing for them, because they've been brought up, you might say, in Plato's cave, where they relate their whole life and everything in it to Plato's cave, which is their church, and they can't, or they don't know the tools, in fact, to use to totally escape it. You see, so they their whole life's experience, so their, who they are, is all boils down to the. This idea of their relationship with Jesus, or more correctly, with the organizational church that they're involved
yeah.
with, and that's the big thing.
And it's very difficult, and it's very hurtful.
Yeah.
Of course, the ones that, as you said, because I've talked to some of our listeners who, in the beginning, even those sending donations, say, "Well, we don't agree with your religious beliefs, but we hear your heart,
yeah.
and we love your spirit," you know, that type of thing. But then people began saying, "Well, you know what? I was wondering about this. Why did God want all those wars? Or why this, why that?" But actually, what they say is they were afraid to even question Alan.
Yeah, uh-huh. That's correct, because the churches have always been used by the state. It doesn't matter if it was ancient Rome or today, the churches were used by the state as part of the political process. And whether they like it or not, organized religion is being used by the state for a political agenda. Not for individual salvation at all, but for a definite pre-planned political strategy.
Right from the get-go with Christianity
and yeah.
325 A.D. with Constantine.
Yeah, I mean, Constantine, again, was he was the front man, anyway, that was put up by the bankers of his time to help get this religion established, since they'd figured out it was a winner, you know. And that's when they gave a lot of the creed, the dogma, out that didn't exist prior to that meeting. And they also basically got rid of and destroyed other dogma or material which didn't mesh with it. So they chose very carefully the parts they wanted to leave for the public consumption, but they destroyed an awful lot of other writings, you know. For instance, the early church, and the Catholic Church did admit this in the 20th century, late 20th century, they did admit that early Christianity, it wasn't just one sect. There were many different groups, just like today. with differing ideas on certain parts of it. And many of them believed in reincarnation, which is a standard belief in Judaism. You know, they don't show that in the movies of Moses and things, but that's standard Judaism. And that
are Jews taught that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That standard Talmudic.
Well, that goes back to the Eastern religions too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they took that out. Actually, the second council that they had, they took that out, and so for almost 1,500 over 1,500 years, that part which had been a vital part of the earlier churches was simply removed from it. The reason it was removed was because if individuals who are being oppressed by the state believed in reincarnation, then they might just risk coming back a second time as an underdog by rebelling against the state. Whereas if you believed you only had one lifetime and you had to be good or you went to hell, that was far more up the state's alley, you might say.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why they took it out. But Constantine himself belonged to the cult of Mithra, and even 2 weeks before he had his famous Council of Nicaea, he'd been elevated into the higher ranks of Mithraism, which is a part of the mystery religion. And he belonged to a few other sects as well. And after he made... he didn't make Christianity the main church of Rome. He simply elevated it up into the ranks of the ones that were already accepted. But after Nicaea, he had a temple built, like all the Roman emperors did, a temple built to himself where worshippers could go while he was still alive and worship his likeness in the temple, his statue. So that's the great Christian Constantine, you know. So there's so much fable told about the man, and yet there's so much history available if you want to seek it out, you know.
Well, yeah, and I have read, but I've never seen anything, and I think you said that this could be found in the Vatican archives,
mm-hmm.
in their own website,
mm-hmm.
that in 520, I believe it is, A.D., that was under Justinian,
mm-hmm.
that was when they went through and took out all the references,
yeah.
In the writings.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And Justinian himself was a pagan, you know. And,
Now, what is a pagan, Alan?
Meaning, basically, he believed in the laws of nature and philosophy.
Does that mean that they don't believe in a creator?
No, they didn't go that far. They simply... it was very similar, in a sense, to Judaism, in that they knew that no one could describe a creator,
yeah.
a Godhead.
Right.
It was too far removed from the simple mind of man.
But in other words, they did believe in a creator.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the laws of nature would be the laws of creator.
Yeah. In other words, you would find your way... the only way you could find your way to the creator was by understanding the laws of nature and observing them.
Okay. What are the laws of nature?
Well, again, this is really the same mystic religion that's behind all religions. It's a cause and effect, you know. They explained it in 1,000 parables.
Well, Jesus said, as you sow, so you shall you reap.
That's the same thing.
That's cause and effect.
That's right. It's the same kind of dogma.
That's dogma?
Yeah, it was actually given to the pagans by the philosophers.
So Jesus, you think Jesus never said that then?
No, it's very possible he did, because it's true too. What it means really is it's more to do with the negative forces you unleash tend to come back on you one way or another.
Yeah, and what about the positive?
Yeah, well, the positive again, is supposed to be like freely given, you know. That's the difference. The positive is supposed to be freely given. It's like giving a gift. You don't expect something in return.
It's not that you expect it.
Uh-huh.
You don't give it expecting to get something back.
Yeah.
But if it is true that for every action there is a reaction,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and as above, so below,
mm-hmm.
then what goes out, return, energy, if, I don't know how else to say it, because I don't know that I have a full concept of it, but that's how I see it.
Yeah, but it's not above as below. See the, as above, so below is the mystery religion, Judaic and Masonic terminology, because the whole part of Revelations is a plan. It's a time plan, if you understand what Revelations means. And that's what they mean. They wrote their plan in the heavens. It wasn't a god that wrote it in the heavens. Because if you look at constellations, you'd be very hard-pressed to say, well, that's definitely a goat. That's
no
a
lie. Yeah.
You know, and there's Gemini. You know,
yeah.
You'd have to really stretch your imagination to try. But this was written many thousands of years ago. The Great Work, as they call it. They wrote it. Their ancient priests wrote it in the heavens. It's a time plan with a final conclusion for the part of this plan. And, of course, that's for the age of Aquarius. So they have everybody saying on the middle level, as above, so below. What it really means is the plan above at the right time is now implemented here on Earth below. That's what they mean by that. You see? But yeah, cause and effect are a different thing. And sure enough, I mean, we can simply look at science in itself, because through science, which really is another word for nature, the workings of nature, understanding the sciences of nature, you can then start to manipulate nature and alter it.
Yeah.
And of course, in this mystery religion that runs the banks and everything else, and the religions, they plan to alter that which was left imperfect, which they claim is man himself. And that's behind every Masonic group, every Theosophical group, and every other group that calls itself part of a mystery religion. It's all the same religion. You know? That man himself eventually is to be altered, except for the high priests, meaning the elite, those...
Well, man is to be altered?
Yeah.
You don't think man has been altered?
Oh, we've been engineered to an extent, but they mean the final...
I have to go push that button so it'll quit beeping, excuse me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is to do with the grand plan, or the great work, or the great design, or the grand design, as they call it. It's to do with the alteration of man himself into the perfect being. However, they're talking from the elite's point of view, and by that they mean all of the underdogs to be made into the perfect slaves, where you will not simply procreate the old-fashioned way. You'll be sterile, and to get another one of you, they'll simply clone you as a worker bee. That's what they mean by that. And the symbol of the beehive and the perfect society has been with them since the days of actually the Minoans had it 5000 BC.
I wish I heard what you just said.
I was talking about their symbol of the perfect society that they want to create has been the beehive. And that's something that they found in the islands the Minoans used in the Aegean Sea 5000 BC.
Yeah.
And from there went to Egypt. Became a very popular symbol of the perfect society. And of course, there you have, in a beehive, you have the queen, who's attended by these priest bees, you know, and then the rest of them are all workers. So that's what that's their perfect society. If there's too many workers, they take off or are killed off, and everything's attended to by the priests. The priests even determine which ones will be workers and which ones will become priests by the type of food they alter. They change the food to suit the type.
Well, they're really doing that now.
Yes, they are.
With
they
all
are.
The genetically modified food, Alan.
Yeah, I know.
The body, in order to survive, the physical body, it would have to be being altered,
yeah.
To be able to continue to exist,
mm-hmm.
with all of the f- food that's being altered?
Well, I think prior to the 1950s, the death rate from what are now common cancers were pretty well spaced out and far in between. And every year we hear about, well, now it's going to be one in four who's going to get cancer, now it's one in three, now it's down to one in two. So in other words, everybody's going to end up with cancer, and within 50 years we think this is some sort of natural, you know, way.
Yeah.
But no, this is all through the modification of the foods, the vaccinations we've been given, which I think were designed to destroy the immune system in the very first place. And we know that the simian 40 virus definitely was in the Salk vaccine and polio vaccines.
Yeah.
It's only functional.
There's something that I want to remember to tell our listeners. Folks, the book Jewish Persecution, I had been copying and pasting it to another file, a Word file, because I've been writing it in an HTML file. And as I've been doing it, there's been a little bit of editing going on. And I sent, I want you to be able to read it for those of you who have internet access. It's actually in the introduction, in the first part. There's an introduction, a dedication, and then a preface. And in the preface, where I'm talking about their plan to control this world, including the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, the water that we drink, etc., every aspect of our lives. In the section where I mention food, I added information on the hormones, because I had quoted from, Charles Galton Darwin, Darwin's grandson, from his book. In fact, Alan had sent me pages of that book, The Next Million Years. And he talks about the hormones in there and how they can change the physical body by the use of artificial hormones. And I actually quoted that, and yet I wasn't quite sure what the heck he meant by it, except the part in there about the different kinds of foods, and the master will not eat the same kind of foods that the subject is subjected to. Well, then finding out about the xenoestrogens. And they call it today estrogen dominance syndrome, and I found reports on it, and I added that to that section. I sent it to Darren this weekend, and when he gets it up on the website at sweetliberty.org, it'll be noted that there it has been revised. And I would like you to go in and go into that preface and scroll down, because that was really basically the only addition that I made there. But ever since I've done that, which was months ago, it has been bothering me that it's not on the one that's on the website, because that information is important. And it's just exactly what we're talking about today. That's at sweetliberty.org at our website. And you can always go into a library and go into there to get that and to read it if you want to. But it's right there. It's all right there, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I didn't understand, except I got Dr. John Lee's book, and he tells, what I didn't understand is that progesterone is sort of like a master. He didn't call it that. But in other words, the body, there's a whole bunch of different hormones. It isn't just estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. And that without the hormones being balanced, the body cannot produce the hormones necessary that functions the entire body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, but they know all that.
And that's what he said. I know what he said it 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then one of the reports I found was it was from Canada, and they were talking about that in Canada, that 30, I think they said 37% of women, by the time they're 50 years old, will be have had. Thank you, huh?
The hysterectomies,
and that it's higher than any other country in Europe. Canada is, and it's second only to the U.S.
Yeah.
And it talks about all of the things that are happening to women, breast cancer, cervical, uterine, etc., because of the artificial. My God, there are 60,000 sources of xenoestrogens. It's even in air sprays.
Yeah.
Aerosol sprays.
And soaps and shampoos.
Shampoos, everything, yeah. That's what I said. We breathe it and bathe in it and sleep in it and and eat it
and
drink it.
Drink their water from their plastic bottles.
Yeah. It's amazing. It's just absolutely...
Well, it's part of the agenda, because if you truly understand the mysteries, you'll find that in the future they planned, they wouldn't need women.
Because they're going to have hermaphrodites?
That's basically it. Hermaphrodite being something which they can then take from and reproduce a perfect copy. In other words, very much like a clone, but they don't want the female species. You know, that the ancient high priest, we've got to understand.
You've got that
today.
In. Is that in your first or second book about the hermaphrodite?
The first one, I think.
Yeah.
But it's within all of their teachings, if you understand them. The need eventually to eliminate the female from the species. And even Albert Pike talks about the binary code, meaning one is male and zero is female. Zero is perfectly useless, he said. You see, so they give you all these little clues along
the
way.
So will the man, this hermaphrodite, it'll be masculine, feminine, it'll be a perfect balance?
Well,
of the masculine,
sense,
feminine qualities,
it
even?
It won't have the feminine qualities so much.
Oh.
It won't have the emotional qualities.
Oh, okay. So the
upon emotion is chaos. In fact, that's the term when they mean order out of chaos. They're actually talking about emotion.
Huh.
Yeah.
And without that,
well, then you're a robot.
Person would be pretty dead, wouldn't they?
You'd be Mr. Spock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And without emotion, then you would not feel love. And anybody who cannot love is walking dead.
Yes, and you'll allow anything to happen if it seems logical. It can be anti-human, but it will seem logical. In other words, if they say, well, it's simply too many people, well, let's just destroy a few million here, and no one will cry a tear over it.
Well, they're doing it today, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they are.
Yeah, well, they are.
Yeah.
We'll give your address one more time.
Yeah.
We're almost out of our hour here. Folks, it's Alan, A-L-A-N, Watt, W-A-T. TT, site, SITE, 41, box 4, Estaire, Estaire, Ontario. You got to put Canada on there. P as in Paul, 3, P3, E, 4, N as in Nora, 1. P3, E, 4, N, 1 is phone number, 705-695-0416. And if you didn't get my address, if you keep your pen in your hand, I think you're going to get it again. I'm not sure. Okay, Alan?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yeah, thank you. And folks, thanks for being here tonight. We'll be back tomorrow night with you. Have a lovely, lovely evening and a nice day tomorrow, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Night, Alan.
Good night.
If you read the history books, the most often asked question to Southerners was this: why did you fight? And the most often given answer is, because you're here. In other words, the South did not invade the North invaded the South.
Was it the Civil War or War of Federal Aggression? John Weaver sets the record straight in this DVD series on the Civil War and the Right of Succession from the Old Pass Christian History Conference. Was there a war to set the slaves free, or was it a war to enslave us all? Get this DVD and judge for yourself. War of Federal Aggression. Get this DVD presentation for a donation of $25 from First